unlock the door, bitch. I'm on my way. And I got kicked in the grass.
I don't know why they call them chasers. It's not like Cubs can run real fast.
Double vodka with hot brownie chasers.
He just wanted to watch me eat it. Naked.
I can't say that. That's dirty.
Chasers will do anything to get into your pants. I love them.
Stop
it! Stop!
Oh,
God. Just wild. Hello, Chubbies. Hey, Sagan, just wanted to say hi. Bye.
Oh, I didn't see you there. Hello. Welcome to Chubbs Gone Wild. It is Chubbs Gone Wild, episode 539, recorded on April 22nd, 2024. And, well, hello, Tom. How are you?
Good.
Good. I am very, very, very...
Well, actually, very, my Achilles tendon on my left foot, from like the bottom of the bone up to through the tendon, like the heel... it's hurting me, but I went to the gym and afterwards it felt better. So,
oh, well, that's good. You might want to try some, topical, like lidocaine, Tylenol lidocaine.
I have.
You do good.
Yeah.
And I use that on my knee now and my shoulder.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is that it doesn't hurt if I'm moving around. It just starts hurting when I'm sitting.
Oh, well, you know what you got to do. Keep on moving.
Get used to it.
Well, unfortunately, sometimes, yeah. But, you know, I mean, at least, you know. Yeah, if it's your, Tom, it's summertime because it's coming off.
It's warm here.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be 86 today. 86 and sunny.
And then it's supposed to be 68 on Friday.
Oh, that's fine with me. I like it a little bit cooler, but I'll tell you that this winter is the first winter where I said, you know, maybe the cold winter rains aren't necessarily my friend anymore.
Yeah, it's called age,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, this was the first year I didn't wear shorts all winter.
Well, you just wore, like, nothing.
I wore sweatpants or long pants or... My legs were too cold.
Yeah. Was it the gray sweatpants? The dangling?
No, not the John Hamm sweatpants.
Oh.
Mine are more joggers, so they're what do you call that? They're fitted on the leg, so it's not in a bag. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was wearing either, I had a maroon pair, a blue pair, a black pair, and an olive pair, and so I would just rotate those out. And,
I like the moon pair. Yeah,
well, it's funny because they the way they're made now, they don't look like sweatpants until you get right up to them. They look, you know, and I figure I can wear sweatpants all winter long. If chicks can wear leggings or what are the yoga pants all year long.
Okay, so you're using women as an excuse.
Well, I'm just saying, fashion-wise, if the chicks can go around because I feel it's very casual wearing the joggers or sweatpants, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah,
and as well as I think that the yoga pants, and they have become, you can wear, girls can wear yoga pants to work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
Weird.
I'm just saying I'm just trying to validate my casualness.
Oh, you don't have to validate that. You are already validated just by existing. That's what I've been told.
I got a haircut yesterday.
Really? Which one? What? What? No.
Well, let's see. Considering you're supposed to be a journalist and a writer, you should know that a haircut is both singular and plural.
That's true.
Unless I get multiple, I go in one day and then I go the next day and I can say I had two haircuts this week.
Yeah. Now, you don't have them do your beard, or you do your own beard?
I don't have a beard.
I know, but I'm saying your facial hair, do you ever have them do it, or?
No, I learned how to shave when I was 14, 13, so.
Oh, okay. Well,
And
that's
been shaving
fine.
ever since.
Now, do you believe that the shaving industry, like products and stuff, have gotten better over the last 60 years?
You are so rude.
Well, actually, well, I was joking, but that is a legitimate question, actually.
Oh,
Do you
yes,
find that
absolutely.
harm? Yeah.
I mean, with the, I do think that the 80s disposable ones, I did, one time I shaved with them and the blade got loose and cut me across here. A nice little, not a chunk, but it looked like a scratch. And when, what was it? There were, when my skin would get dry around that time period, you could, it would flare up. It, you wouldn't see it. And then all of a sudden, there it is. And I hated that because I was, acting at the time. So just what I
Right.
need. Oh yeah, who's the nice roly-poly guy with the big scar in his
Scarface.
face? Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gillette. So as far as now, everything is so much better. Even the electric, what do you call them? I guess, the trimmer that they use for haircuts and they use for
Flippers.
beard clippers. Yes. Even they're so much better. And yeah, no, I do like the, I mean, I was never, it's funny. I was never one of those people that got razor burn. I mean, sometimes I would, if the razor was really dull, I'd get razor burn, but like Sean gets razor burn still. When he shaves.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's just a little sensitive skin.
I guess.
Wow, that's a lot of S's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it is 35 days till Memorial Day, 197 until Halloween, and 247 until Christmas. I think we should do a Halloween party this year. I think that'd be nice. Let's see. Let's talk about Patreon real quick, because that's what we do at this point in the show. And Patreon offers ways for all of our listeners to support creators like us and receive rewards not open to the general public, like my Life in Fragments podcast, books, videos, and more. And we want to thank our current patrons, Clint, Nephi, Nick, DJ Sausage, Ron Sayunafas. We have Eric, Sean, Phoenix Dave, Brothers Sinatus, Kingsley, Kathy Bacon, and Moose P. And of course, Charles. Welcome back, and please visit patreon.com/mattburlingame to find out how you can support our work for as little as a dollar a month. And just so that you know, some of the things that we end up doing, not only do we have our fully functioning website and hosting up, but we were able to renew the Swanner and Judd domain and all that good stuff because of our patrons. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Tom and Brian, thank you. And if you don't listen, that's okay. They still thank you because that's just how they roll. Ready for the affirmation? Take a deep breath. Clear your thoughts. Take a breath out or breathe out. Don't hold it too long. You pass out. I
You're supposed to say it while we're holding our breaths.
hear. Oh, okay. Deep breath in.
Oh no, you've already written it. What's the thing?
I care deeply about Mother Earth. This planet is my only home, so I take good care of her resources. I could do better, but I try, and I think that is a wonderful thing. This is Earth Day, I believe. So, yeah.
Well, I do. I do have, I mean, we have solar, we have a Tesla. I have an old car that I use just to run errands and to the gym. And if you're an old car that doesn't run that much is better than bringing another car's footprint into the arena here. And then, we've converted, we're trying to convert everything over from natural gas to electricity, because I hate PG&E and I think it's a better form of energy. And we do all the recycling. Do you recycle all your bits?
Do my best, but I have to admit that sometimes I get to the point where I'm like, just put it all in the trash. But that's when
Fuck
I get
Mother Earth. Fuck her. Mother Earth doesn't deserve your love. Throw it all in the trash.
Mother Earth deserves the love, but our local recycling and trash places, I think they're still fucking things up. But anyway,
okay,
I do try. What?
So if you look at my trash can right now, all you're going to see is, you know, packaging, and that can't be recycled packaging, and any other thing. The only, not food, but the only thing you're going to find in there is this. Can you see it?
Ew. Oh, poor squirrel.
No, not poor squirrel. This one was trying to get into our roof during the summer. And I mentioned this to my good friend Susie, my cat, or the feral cat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she knew that, you know, she knows that she can go after any rats, mice, or squirrels that are trying to invade my house. And so yesterday we walk out and there it is sitting right there in front of the front door. And so Sean's like, what are we going to do with it? And I go, pick it up and throw it in the trash can. And he goes, there's another squirrel looking at me. And there was a squirrel on the fence looking at him, you know, going, my child, what have you done? And he's like, I didn't do this. This isn't me. It was here. We just found the body. And he's trying to, he's trying to get out of being blamed for it in front of the other squirrel.
Well,
I would have done the same thing, though, so I got to admit
it. Of course, I would have, too. I would have told the squirrel, I'm sorry for your friend, but yeah. Ugh. But, okay, so as long as you guys didn't do it, which I never thought you really would have, but, you know, sometimes desperate measures. But, okay, so Susie did it. I understand. All right. Where were we? Today's affirmation. Oh, by the way, breathe out. Okay, well,
no, we didn't breathe in because you ruined it. Just go. History, Earth Day, tell us.
Okay, well, do you know the year that Earth Day started?
1970. Go ahead.
Yes, and do you know what else happened in
1970? Let's see. The Blues Brothers debuted. Oh, in 70, you were born.
Yes, Queen, I was. All right, let's see, where were
we? Not on April 22nd.
That's true. Actually, it happened before I was born, so I have never known a time without an Earth Day. Earth Day was an event to increase public awareness to the world's environmental problems, and is celebrated in the U.S. for the first time in April 22nd, 1970. Millions of Americans, including students from thousands of colleges and universities, participated in rallies, marches, and educational programs across the country. Also, on April 22nd, but in 1978, Saturday Night Live showcased the worldwide television debut of the Blues Brothers, the not quite fake musical creation of the Saturday Night Live cast members Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. And I know that so many people just love the Blues Brothers, but I just never really took to it.
Yeah, me either. I like both guys, and I don't mind so much. It's the singing that I don't want. I don't like the music, but their characters, I think, are hilarious. This is interesting. I found out yesterday that if you, you know, when can you get Medicare? When can you get it?
I thought it was.
At what age?
55? 65. Oh, it is 65. Okay.
It was 65. They've moved it to 67 if you're born after 1960 or later.
Oh, geez.
I know. I'm right under the gun there because my friend Mike and I were both going, but, you know, it's like, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Well, and now retirement age is what, 72?
It depends. It depends on who you're talking to. Okay. My retirement age is 79, late 69, like past my birthday in 69, where Sean's is like, I think 72 or 73 now.
Yeah. Mom was able to retire when she was 62. She didn't get full benefits at that point, but she was able to do that, thankfully, for her.
Well, you know, it's terrible though. When you look at those, you know, you can, cause you can start to, you can get Social Security at 62, but not a full pop. But then you look at when you can get the full pop, which for me would be 69. So those 7 years that I would not be getting it, I would acquire, it's like $150 more a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, they think we're supposed to die, that men are supposed to die, I think it's either 76 or 77, and women are 79 or 80. So, let's do it to where we'll give you benefits that you're going to really be able to enjoy for that last 7 years.
Right. Yeah.
It's just, it's, and I get it, but it's also, you know, I mean, you can't expect people to work 60, 70 years of their lives. Well, 60 years. Most people will be working close to 60 years when they, you know, are able to retire. I mean, Sean started working when he was 15 years old. And so he won't be able to, you know, retire with Social Security until he's 72, 73. That just does not seem fair.
I know. And I mean, especially when you have years where you didn't pay into it like I did, so that when I retire, I'll be lucky if I'm getting $600 a month from it. So, all right. Well, on that lovely note, thank you, Blues Brothers, for bringing that up. I don't know how we got there, but we got there. And now let's talk about holidays. What do you think one of the holidays is?
Earth Day.
Yay! Happy birthday, Earth Day. Also, In God We Trust Day. April Showers. Nope, not happening. Chemists celebrate the Earth Day. I guess she just needed a separate one for chemists, all right? It's Girl Scout Leader Day. No cares. It's also International Mother Earth Day.
It's supposed to rain on Friday.
Ooh, I wonder if those will bring Mayflowers.
No, but they'll certainly increase the number of weeds in your yard.
And the amount of pollen in the air and stuff.
Like no, that. Actually, the rain will actually eliminate the pollen, but then create more 2 to 3 weeks down the line.
Exactly.
Are you suffering?
No, actually, I'm not from that. Oh, it's also National Jelly Bean Day. Do you like jelly beans?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm not a big jelly bean fan either. But I will tell you that if I do have jelly beans, I will eat the black ones because they're my favorite. Just saying. All right. We got some birthdays. We'll get to them. They're coming up here. There we go. Happy birthday to author Kelly York and to one of our old dear friends, David, who appeared in a number of our shows, and also to Stephanie. And what else we got here? We've got happy birthday upcoming to Michelle, Christian, playwright Christian St. Croix, whose work, we got to work with him in our show Poughkeepsie Porn Company, the original. He played Dick, if you remember. And he is now an internationally celebrated playwright. I mean, and his work is fucking amazing and everywhere. So he's pretty fucking awesome. Also, happy birthday to Albert Wanda Wisdom. Hey there, hi there, ho there. Emphasis on the ho. And we've got Colton Ray, author Seth King. Ooh. We've got Kay Simone, author J. Scott Coatsworth, who's a local boy. And we have Julian, John, Ellen, Victor. Oh my goodness, lots of birthdays. Terrence, Tony. We have Phil Pluckbaum, who's one of our local assemblymen? Something like that. Yeah, anyway. Also, Anthony, Sarah, Diego. Hello, Diego. And Thomas. Happy birthday. So many wonderful birthdays. Okay. What to do? Well, what's next?
Let me.
Oh, it's our feedback. Sean wrote in and says, foisting technology onto someone who doesn't want it is one thing. But if you're not going to help them set it up and figure it out how to use it, what's the point? That was to, of course, our Am I the Asshole question last episode. And I completely agree. And that's the thing, like with my mom, I know that if I get her some new technology type thing that I think is going to really help her, and that's the thing, is I will get her something that I think is really going to help her. But I know that I'm going to have to take the time to, you know, set it up and teach her how to use it and everything.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's a fair point. But yeah, I mean, after, it's just so hard. I remember because I was always the one that brought home, I've got my parents their first VCR, my parents their first DVD player. Ooh. You know, I because I wanted them to enjoy the same love of technology that I had, but you have to, you know, you right. have to help them out, and now I'm the one that needs the help, so you know, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mom, we have the smart TV-ish, smart-ish TV, in her room where she watches, you know, and I want to make sure that she has access to like Vudu, which is now Fandango, and this and that and the other thing, so that she can watch all the movies and TV shows and stuff that she really likes. And I want her to be able to do that. But because it's through the Amazon thing, when she presses the, you know, and says the name of the whatever she wants to watch, instead of it coming up on Fandango or whatever else platform that we have, it will automatically try to bring her to something that's going to make her pay for something. And it's very frustrating to her, and I have to help her out with that all the time. But anyway, Baron Frosty says, great talk on your show today about whom to leave your money to in your will. It's a quandary for gays who don't have kids. I don't plan on leaving anything to my family. I've set up an endowment at my local community foundation. Yes, to support the local library where I spent much of my childhood. All the dough I don't blow on hookers and booze will go to that endowment.
All right. Hookers and booze.
Yeah. They
but that's, That's what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, the question was, you know, if it would help change the world, and I don't think the money that I have would ever help change the world, but you know, it could go to he was saying, Baron was saying, the library. I even mentioned that last time, or you know, like a dog rescue,
Oh
something
yeah.
like that. You know, like Asher House,
Oh yeah.
something. But like I said, I've got a feeling I'm not going. I'm going first, so I cannot take Sean's money and go, oh, we're giving my portion of it to somebody else. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. No, you want to make sure that Sean gets all of his inheritance because I'll need something to live on when you're gone. So,
Yeah.
yeah. But no, I totally understand that. I, you know, if I did have a lot of money, there are a couple local charities that I would absolutely make sure had that to keep them going. I certainly, you know, otherwise, if it were, it would go to my mom, but nobody else I know needs it, and I'm not leaving it to family so that they can give it to a church that hates us.
Or send it to Trump.
Send it to who?
Trump.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that one, but yeah. All right. Well, we got some chub hugs to send out, starting with Donna Sugars, whose kitty Liza passed away. It was very sad. Liza basically showed up and adopted Donna, said, "Somebody needs to love you." And then, well, anyway, she, poor thing, passed away. I also want to send just a chub hug memorial memory out. Tomorrow, the 23rd, will be, I don't know, probably about 20 years almost that I lost Audrey.
No,
Dog.
hey, 20?
It was, we got the kitties in like 2006, 2007, and she had passed away at least, I think, a year before that. So,
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
it's been quite a while, and but still, she's my baby. I think of her all the time. So, anyway, how about you? What you got?
Just to all those folks out there who are suffering through the spring season, I know that when I walked over to the Colonial Theater on Saturday night, by the time I got there, yeah, I was not out of breath. I just couldn't breathe, and it wasn't the walk; it was the pollen. And so, I know that. As a kid, I would be right now, I wouldn't leave the house until probably June, because when I go outside, I'm just miserable. So, where I'm not so much anymore, it's just we had hit a warm spot this last weekend, which had temperatures in the mid 80s. So, it's funny, we were looking out the back door and we were just watching the pollen flying around the backyard. Just it you could have, if it was in black and white, you probably would go, is it snowing at your place?
Yeah, my mom, it has a real rough time with that. And actually, our friend Lori Dean, he does as well. So, well,
It's
and I
weird
guess
because
actually our friend Ouija does too.
as you
So,
get older, it does reduce for what that's worth.
yeah. Okay, so starting with celebrity deaths in our celebrity news section, starting out with Mandisa, American Idol season 5 star and Grammy-winning Christian singer who also courted controversy for making anti-gay statements in 2006, died April 18th at age 47. Dickie Betts, oh Betts, sorry, Dickie Betts, a founding member and guitarist of the Allman Brothers Band, died on April 18th. He was 80. And actually, I have a friend here who was quite affected by that.
I was reading that today.
Eva Evans, the social media influencer who created the Prime Video series Club or Club Rat, died on April 20th. She was 29. Meg Bennett, the soap opera actress and screenwriter, died on April 11th at age 75 from cancer. Roman Gabriel, the former NFL quarterback who played for Los Angeles Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Philadelphia Eagles, died on April 20th. He was 85. Kyle Melissa Roth, the Marissa Roth, the TikTok sensation star, her death was confirmed by her mother on April 15th. She was 36. And I don't know who the social influencers are, but gosh, they're so young.
Yeah, and as far as the Dickie Betts thing, I remember, well, and I think I've shared this story before. See, I unfortunately had run into this earlier. You know how some kids, you know, they go through life and they don't have anybody die on them until they're like in their 20s or 30s, and then grandma dies or grandpa dies, and you didn't grow up on a farm, so you didn't see any of the dogs die or the cats die or that. Yeah. But I remember when it was 83, and Karen Carpenter died, and I was just devastated. So yeah. I understand where our listener was, how he feels about somebody he listened to. I mean, because especially those singers and actors that were, you know, they're your childhood, right. You know, your teenage years. Because it's always like people go, "Oh yeah, I really loved the music when I was growing up in the '60s," and I'm like, "You were born in '67. Come on, you were a child of the late '70s, early '80s. It's your teenage years. Teenage years. That's when you're a teenager. That's when your music comes into play."
Yeah.
So for me, I was a teenager in all in the 70s. Mm. And so the 70s for me were just, God, we had such great music. It's just, it's crazy. Everyone has their own thoughts on their music, but come on, we went from the remainder of what was going on in the 60s to the disco to we had hard rock, we had country rock, we had harmonizing, you know, everybody was harmonizing from the Carpenters to the Eagles. It was just, we had this amazing, amazing group of music at that time. And
yeah, I have a real affinity for 70s music and 70s era. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like the kind of celebrity or the industry, the music and the movie industry around that time just seems to hold this real fascination for me. But of course, 80s was my teen. I mean, that was my era, the 80s.
Right.
And
right.
I still have like just this absolute love of that time of music. Every time I hear, you know, the opening chords to practically any 80s song, I know it instantly and it takes me back. So,
well, and remember when you turn on the radio and there was never bad music on.
Yeah.
You knew all the songs, everything. Because we had maybe four or five TV stations in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the early 80s, some people were getting cable. A lot weren't. And so we listened to the radio a lot. And and so for me, that was, I remember sitting on Sunday mornings listening to Casey Kasem's Top 40.
Oh, absolutely.
Every weekend. I didn't, that was my church, was listening to 3 hours of what's popular on pop radio.
Yep. And did you record it on cassette?
I did not. I saved my cassettes for like movies and TV shows that I could listen to but not watch.
We did the same thing. I used to record the movies onto cassette for my mom to listen to while she was at work with her headphones on, while
Okay.
she was skiing. And I did the same thing, and I would listen to them and act them out in my head over and over. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a Easter Bunny is coming. Here comes Peter Cottontail, and I was recording it, and I had a little teeny microphone that I had on a little stand right in front of the TV, so I was recording it, and I was eliminating the commercials. I would put it on pause during the commercials. So I remember it was I think it was Halloween, and he goes, "Oh my God, it's Halloween!" And right then, the dog, the dachshund kicked the microphone. I smacked him, and you hear in the background. Whenever I would listen to it, I go, "Damn that pappy, ruining my fucking recording."
I've heard that story before, and I love it because I had the same thing where I had recordings where the dogs would start barking, and you could hear me going, "Shh, I'm recording." So anyway, okay. All right. Celebrity news: the leading fashion designer whose accessories were used by celebrities from Britney Spears to the cast of the Sex and the City TV series was sentenced Monday to 18 months in prison after pleading guilty in Miami federal court on charges of smuggling crocodile handbags from her native Colombia. Okay.
Okay, don't we have better things to do?
Kim Kardashian has lost a staggering 120,000 followers and counting social media followers on and counting social media followers, in the few days since Taylor Swift released her scathing revenge song, Thank You, Amy, which is said to be a diss track aimed at the reality star Kardashian 43, who faced backlash since Swift released the song on Friday, April 19th, which includes lyrics like, "Everyone knows that my mother is a saintly woman, but she used to say she wished that you were dead."
Okay.
Yeah, it's lovely. Right. Do. And with that lovely bit of news, Tom wants to talk to you about.
Well, let's start off with RuPaul's Drag Race. We have a winner, and it's what's interesting was that. The last three, the top three, I should say, were Plain Jane, Nymphia, and Saphira. And I thought, I mean, since, because I don't really count, we didn't really judge until week three because that's the first time all the queens were together. So the first week they had seven, second week they had seven, third week they brought the 14 together. So that was the first time we really had a chance to see all of them together. And at that point, these three we said would be in the top three. You know, it just seemed, you know, it seemed simple. And but since the longest time I've been saying it's going to be Saphira, only because she's polished, just polished. She has great costumes. She's always hilarious, and RuPaul really, really liked her. But she did not win. It went to Nymphia Nguyen, was the Asian queen from Taiwan, and she as well had gorgeous outfits. Most of them she did herself. She also, she performed well. She beat Saphira in the final lip sync, which I think is what ended up winning it totally for her. And she's the only queen this season that did not end up in the bottom. So it was either or. I mean, even if it was Plain Jane, I would have been fine with that because they were all really good, really funny, and yeah. So there's another season gone by, but they did showcase their new set that they have for the show, the new runway and set. It's really nice. Let's see. So you think you can dance? We're down to the top eight, and this week they are going to Broadway. And I'm not sure what that means. I got a feeling they're going to learn what it is to be a swing person on Broadway. Because to me, first of all, I don't understand understudies. Understudying would be so hard for me because I need the repetition so I can remember my lines and my hitting my marks and my timing and knowing where everybody is. And if I just can't imagine that somebody who comes in, well, like for instance, and with swing, they have, let's say, eight swing people. Well, if one of those people is sick, they will call in somebody to take their place who knows all eight swing parts. Which, and I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. That means even their harmonies and their hitting their marks. Can you imagine playing swing one and one day, and then the next day you're playing swing four, and having to remember what scenes you're in and what scenes you're not in, and who you're picking up and carrying across the stage. Oh my God, I just can't even imagine. You know, hooray for these people who could do that.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because it sparked a memory in my brain that we actually have a letter about, an email about that to us from our friend Barry. So, and he is a piano player, renowned piano player who plays huge venues, and he says, "I'm taking a swing at answering your questions. A Broadway show typically does eight shows a week, two Wednesday, one Thursday, one Friday, two Saturday, and two Sunday. Equity requires a run through after the 2 days off. So typically, the understudies cover the star roles and the swing cover the roles of the understudies leave open. On Broadway, the worst show is Saturday afternoon because the cast is conserving their energy for the four shows in 2 days. The name stars that sell the show pretty much has to be on, but smaller roles are covered by the understudies. But the understudies are usually in the ensemble, and get to see the other tracks. And get to see the other tracks. Yes, that's how we refer to ensemble members who do a variety of smaller roles in real time during all performances. I was once the understudy for Brad Ellis in Forbidden Broadway. If you see Glee, Brad was Brad, who was seemingly in the play in the room playing the piano regardless of where they were. Really? He has a lounge gig at Breadsticks? I had a party in my living room when the call came in. I rushed downtown Boston, party going on without me, and they saw me and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Brad's fine. We should have called." So Saturday afternoon has the most understudies and swings on. And Wednesday afternoon is packed with unresponsive seniors who want to get home before dark. Love, Barry. So anyway, I'm glad that came up because I had this email to read during our feedback, and I'd forgotten to slip it in there. So there we go. Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Barry.
Yes, and thank you for slipping it in.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. This week on the Conners, it was Dan's birthday, and he's kind of excited that he realized that he's close to paying off the house, which they've owned for what, like 40, 50 years now.
Yeah.
And so he's about ready. And so he's giving classes to the white kids in the neighborhood on how to do simple jobs around the house, you know, like change out the toilet seat. That's what brought it up to begin with, was that Darlene's son, who works maintenance, has to go and replace a toilet seat, and he doesn't even know how to do it. And it's like, okay. So Dan starts giving classes at home and at different places, and he starts getting a lot of people because, oddly enough, parents want to get their they're lazy ass kids who don't know how to change a car tire or, you know, mow a lawn or, you know, do things, how to do things, because they didn't teach the kids.
Yeah.
I guess they're thinking, what, the kids are going to learn how to, you know, change out a toilet in school. That's not what it how it happens. So I think that would be really a good experience for kids to learn how to do simple stuff. And well, and we've talked about this, maybe like if Dan can't help him with this, maybe, you know, I won't say Darlene because I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody, but maybe another character could be teaching kids how to, you know, balance their checkbook, how to pay bills, how to do things around the house that aren't repair work, but are just how to do laundry.
Right. You know, oh, yeah.
I remember moving out of the house thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. All I have is rent and my car insurance and gas and food. And then I realized, oh, and then there's electricity. And then there's, I got to have cleaning products. I got to pay for toilet paper, you know. And then all of a sudden you realize it's not all, you know, oh, look, you want furniture? Oh, my God. I didn't even think I didn't have a couch, you know.
I've often said that there should be life classes in school. Right.
I agree.
Because definitely, I'm glad that I actually had to teach somebody how to put air in their tires and change the tire. And I'm like, thank goodness I know how to do this. And, you know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Anyway, so, and then the other storyline was Darlene was complaining about how awful the food that they were serving at the cafeteria. She works as a cafeteria worker to get her son's tuition paid for.
Right.
So she goes in and talks to this woman who's hiding out in a room in the dark and says, I know you're the nutritionist, but what about, you know, like changing the food around a little bit and making it better? She goes, look, if you could drop it 25%, the money, you know, the cost down 25%, I'll make you the manager of the thing and you can do whatever you want. She goes, I can? And she goes, sure. And she goes, okay. And she goes, but, you know, if you mess it up, I'll fire you. And she goes, well, I'm here working to make sure my son gets his tuition. Yeah, too late. You're already hired. She goes, I haven't signed anything. She goes, I don't care. You're hired. Just don't, you know, basically don't fuck it up. So we'll see if she fucks it up or not.
Exactly. And she's, of course, got to be the one that's going to complain about something.
Exactly. She is the Karen of the show and the complainer about Karen's in life. Brian actually said it would have been funnier if Darlene was actually playing the nutritionist, but aged, you know, they put aged makeup on her. So she was basically meeting herself at like 65.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Really funny, real clever. Let's see. Still continuing Abbott Elementary and Ghost. I keep saying Ghost. Let's see. Oh, Pit Stop was really funny. Now, Pit Stop is the show that comes on after a RuPaul's Drag Race show, where it's Trixie Mattel, and this time they had Monet Exchange, and they were discussing what was going on and what happened. And I'll tell you, and I say this every week, it's funnier than RuPaul's Drag Race, which RuPaul's Drag Race isn't supposed to be hilarious anyway, but you know, there's more to it than just the comedy on RuPaul's Drag Race. But on this, it's drag and comedy. And it is, they're so funny. They're so catty. They're so mean and vicious sometimes. And sometimes, you know, they're almost like sad for a bad performance. You know, it's just, they're not making fun of it. They're just so embarrassed and disappointed for that person. And it's good. But it all comes out very funny. This week, last night, they started off the American Idol Top 16, and I haven't watched it yet, but I think they take it down to the top 10 or the top 12. So we'll see what happens. And then tonight, there's another show where they're going to knock it down another couple people, and this goes on for maybe two or three weeks more, and it's over. It's so weird the way they're doing it now. Survivor, Another Blind Side. And it was kind of sad because he cried. And I hate that. You know, you're on a show and you know that one of you is only going to win and all the rest of you are going to have to lose.
Right.
So, you know, don't be too confident.
Well, yeah, and especially the last season too, I like the fact that all the players love the game so much that when they get a really good blindside, they like congratulate them for getting them out. But yeah. I'm sad.
Yeah. Matt Singer this week, they got rid of two people and one woman from The Office and another guy who I think was a blues singer or something, and I didn't know either. So still, it's still a fun show. I hate it when these two people were older. I hate it when they get these influencers or sports stars that I have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
It almost makes me feel kind of bad, but makes me feel kind of old, I should say. Because I'm usually pretty good with pop culture, but
yeah.
it's just running wild. It's pop culture gone wild. See, on Top Chef this week, are you caught up yet?
I'm not, but that's okay.
Well, let me just say that the quick fire winner is the one who goes home. It's worth watching the episode because when he's, serving his fish to the group, at the end of the show, someone goes, so when did you start cooking this fish? And he goes, I think he said 35 minutes to go. It may have been 25 minutes, but fish takes no time to cook.
Oh, yeah. Really,
no time to cook. And when you take it out, it just gets
bad.
Cold and dry. It's not good. You really want the heat of the fish to still be there when you're serving it from when you cooked it. And if 35 minutes, if it was warm, even warm at all, it had cooked the shit out of it. So he went home. But when he said 35 minutes, the look on the host's face, the new host's face, her eyes bulged out of her head like, what? You could, and then Tom Colicchio goes, it only takes 4 minutes to cook fish.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I wanted to make sure I didn't want to be late with all the fish. And it's like, okay. Then you start 8 minutes, before. Not 35. Anyway, it was very funny. We finished Body Problem.
So, oh, yeah.
Disappointment.
What? Really?
Well, nothing happened.
Well, yeah, there is that. And I have noticed that that's kind of a common thread lately, is that
leave with
they're so focused on setting it up for the next season that they don't give you enough payoff to make you feel satisfied to want to watch the next season. And this is a thing that has been going on with a number of series lately.
Halo.
That was one of them, yes. That one and this one. And even Fallout. Fallout was a really good
series. I haven't finished it.
No spoilers. It was a really good series, but it definitely set you up for the next season. But at least it had enough of a payoff where you're like, okay, I'm ready for what's next. But some of these, yeah, they're like, oh, okay.
The Watchers and the Wheels and the all, they keep doing it because they want to get a second season out of it.
Right.
But you got to make a great first season before anybody says, let's do a second season.
Right. Exactly. There's cliffhangers and then there's like letdowns.
Because I said to you weeks ago that I'm figuring that the end of the season is going to be them going, realizing that 400 years to them isn't 400 years to us. 400 years to them is, like 2.5 years to us.
Right.
And it's like, yikes. But nope. We just got a brain flying through space.
Uh-huh.
A guy who doesn't want to take a job and two people who now are being controlled by being controlled by the bad guys, the aliens.
Exactly. And not and only that, it. But the guy whose brain is flying through space was like the best character on there, frankly, to me. Or at least the nicest.
So this is something weird. The past 3 or 4 days, I have had weird poops. Oh, I know you hate listening to my poop stories, but they look like schnitzel. Now you know what schnitzel is, right?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Okay, but they have that kind of. It's like it's not coming out diarrhea, and it's not coming out like a turd. It's coming out like schnitzel, and I just can't figure out how. I look at the bowl, and I'm going, "Oh my god, this is like schnitzel." And Sean's like going, "Stop calling it that." And so, I don't. And then I had to actually show him a YouTube description, a video of how you make schnitzel. And I go, "See, isn't that just what it looks like?" He goes, "I didn't even look at what it looks like." Okay, thanks for letting me know how to make schnitzel. I don't want to hear about this anymore. He doesn't like hearing about the poop either.
Yeah. Well, which is weird because he's a nurse.
Well, maybe that's more the reason why he doesn't. But
for our listeners who are left, did you have any other shows?
I wanted to talk about Saturday. I mentioned that I walked over to the theater.
Yeah,
the show we went to see was called it's Gateway Players or Gateway Comedy, and it is. This is the premise of the show. Three comedians come out and do 15, 20 minutes apiece, and then they have an intermission, and then they drop 100 milligrams of mushrooms. After intermission, they come back in and they do comedy for us, do more comedy.
Yeah.
And whether they and I was watching online, they have one person who was just like, I can't even think, you know, which is funny watching someone flounder on stage when you know why they're doing it or why it's happening. Mm-hmm. But what I thought was, I mean, first of all, they were all good comedians, so that whether or not they were stoned or not didn't matter. But it was 420. And so we were the 420 performance of their. Because they travel up in, basically they were in Portland on Friday, Santa Rosa on Sunday. They were, you know, they kind of hit boom, 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 different places all the time. So they've been on the road for 2.5 weeks when they got to us. So the funny part was that when intermission comes around, they said, okay, so what we're going to have you do, instead of going out through the front doors, we're going to have you come through this back door that goes to the parking lot, and we're going to be out there and we're selling some merch and we're signing stuff that if you want to do that, that's great. Or you can go out there and, you know, do whatever. So here comes out 600 people out through into the parking lot. Everyone's smoking weed. And if you've ever been by the Colonial Theater, right next to it is a giant billboard, okay, in their parking lot, a giant billboard. And so the billboard's lit up. It looked like there was a fire in the theater because there was so much smoke in covering that parking lot from 600 people all lighting up at the same time. It was fucking hilarious. It was so funny. And that was my favorite part. It was just how many people were out there. One guy had he had made a weed cigar. And when I say cigar, it was even bigger than most cigars. It was huge. It was one of those ridiculous ones that you see on the internet. You know, it's like the size of a telescope, you know, one of those little telescopes that you, you know, oh, look, there's the ship over there.
Yeah.
And he lit it up. And when he puffed that, plumes were coming out of it. It was so funny. So that was my 420 moment, and it was good. I did enjoy the holiday very well. Thank you.
I'm glad that you did. Yeah. Okay, so we didn't talk about Spring Baking Show, but I mean, I haven't gotten a chance to watch the latest show, but I did catch up on the ones that we talked about last week, and I agreed with you that it was time for that person to go.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So ready.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so we talked about all those. All right, so for my week, last romance auditions, we now have a narrator, and he's really cool. I really enjoyed his voice. So that's getting underway. Thankfully, I have Nephi, who's kind of acting as the manager for the audiobook parts, and I really appreciate that. So he's kind of, spearheading that. But so I just get to sit back and listen to my book being read. And but we do, I did have to send some stuff for, like a cast voices, suggestions and stuff. Because like originally there was the maid who's a New Jersey Puerto Rican woman. And, I envisioned her talking, kind of more like J-Lo does, with that kind of accent like that. And he like really put on the Puerto Rican accent when he read her. And I'm like, no, we don't do that. Just, J-Lo her. So, and then when I was trying to find that video clip, I found out that like there's a lot of people out there who say J-Lo is like really mean. So that was weird. What else? Okay, so I talked about last week having been working on getting Nephi's partner Mark, who passed away in 2019, his book Bipolar Blues back up and available for purchase on the internet. And so it took a little bit, but the ebook and now the paperback are both out there and are available. You can just look up Bipolar Blues by Mark Raymond Atterbury on Amazon if you like poetry. It is a really great collection of work, and I was really glad to be able to help get that back out there for him and honor his legacy. I haven't really been watching too much. I have continued my Star Trek Discovery and am about halfway maybe through season four. So that means I'll by the time I get to season five, most of it will be out, so I can binge a little bit of it. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hearing so much good stuff about the new season. Season five, but at the same time, trying not to get any spoilers because this is one of the few shows that I'm, really looking forward to and don't want. I just want to be surprised by it. And talk about surprise. I watched a movie called Planet Quake. It's a 2024 movie that's out now. You can find it on Amazon, and it's Planet Quake. And it stars nobody that you know. It is a absolutely horrible, cheesy, independent, movie by probably a lot of first-time people that are trying to put together a project. And at the same time that it is horrible, it is also wonderful. And the reason that I say it's wonderful is because movies like this are important for people getting their start, learning the business, who want to, hone their craft, learn how to be in a movie and stuff like that. And
Well,
dialogue, what?
I was mentioning last couple of weeks about Halloween and Aliens and Friday the 13th. All those people that worked on these low budget shows that became some became hits, some got them the next job, and some like if Planet Quake you find out is directed by the new Steven Spielberg or the new George Lucas.
Right.
And then, and then what happens is on his next job, he's already worked with these people and know that they're really hard workers. So he'll hire them again. Mm-hmm. And that's how this business works. So yes, these kind of movies, you can sit there and go, oh God, that was kind of terrible. But you know, that the person who played the secretary, she was really good. And the cinematography, considering how cheaply this was made, was excellent. And they found really good locations, and those people can, you know, use this to advance their own career. And I like that for that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what this was. I was watching it going, wow, you people are, no, boy, that was, you really chewed that scenery. And oh, look, half the movie was done in this one room. But at the same time, I'm like, and yet they utilized the set. The set actually looked pretty decent. It's both, oh God, I sat through that. And yet, you know, it's wonderful that it's there for people getting their start. So I always kind of applaud the.
It was the whole world. It was an earthquake all over the world.
It was they were trying to, the ship was trying to mine, pull out nuclear warheads or something that were dropped long, long ago that they just discovered. And the thing that got me is they kept saying like nuclear warheads from like the World War II era. And I'm like, there weren't any. It was atom bomb. Anyway, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to pretend that you guys either don't know what you're talking about or that I missed something. And then one of them goes off near a tectonic plate and then it shifts all the ones around and they throw in all this pseudocycle babble bullshit where you're like, I'm sure somebody spent a lot of time looking up stuff, thinking that they knew what they were talking about, but none of it made sense. And I'm not talking like, I don't know that era, so it didn't make sense to me. I'm like, literally, some of that shit did just not make sense. So, whatever. But still, if you just want a silly movie to watch on an afternoon and it's free, go for it.
What's it on?
It's on Amazon.
Okay.
So, but I'm saying wait for it to be free. Trust me.
Oh, it's not free?
I don't think so. Not at the moment, but it's heading that way. In fact, it's got to be on it. I'm surprised it didn't debut on like Tubi or something. And then we have, I watched Hitman Agent 47. I actually watched this a bit ago, but I don't think I ever talked about it. Probably because I forgot it by the next day. It's an elite assassin who was genetically engineered from conception to be the perfect assassin. And it stars Rupert Friend and Zachary Quinto. And it's a big stinky pile of poo, but there is enough, but it kept me interested enough that I would actually recommend it again if you're just like wanting an action movie. It was not that bad for the action movie in it, but don't watch it for the plot. Just watch it for the action. And then I watched Captive State. It's a 2019 movie starring John Goodman, Ashton Sanders, and Jonathan Majors. It's a pair of brothers long separated after an alien invasion. They reunite just as the elder brother leads a small group of hometown revolutionaries to disable the aliens' tracking monitor atop Chicago's Sears Tower. You basically just dropped into the middle of it. You don't really know fully what's going on. The acting is really good. Actually, the cinematography is really good, too. It's like one of those movies where you're like, it is so close to being like, oh, that's good, that you kind of wish it had taken that extra step toward it. But I would recommend watching it if you like the stuff like, what was that movie? You know, the basically alien movies where you're just kind of dropped into it after the invasion and you have no idea what's going on. You got to figure it out. But they don't tell you. They're just like, this is like just a slice of A to Z, but there's no real resolve afterward either. But still, it's a well done movie. So I don't know. I recommend it, but if you're not into that, just skip it. The one that I will really recommend, though, is Strange Way of Life. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay, so Strange Way of Life is the Pedro Pascal and Ethan Hawke 35-minute film that was done by the, I believe he was an Italian director. And they are gay cowboys. It is on Netflix, and it is really, it's 35 minutes, so it's not, you're not overly, you don't, you know, if you don't like it, you're not over, it doesn't suck your time up. It was very fun. It was, I mean, they're very sexy. They're very
Is it a
sexy to each
series?
other. What?
Is it a series?
No, it is one, it's a one-off. It's a 35-minute one-off short film.
Okay, that's
And they
fine.
are both gay, and I totally recommend it. Totally recommend it. It's just a like a ooh, and you get to see Pedro Pascal's butt in bed and everything too. So that was nice. But again, it's just a 35-minute slice of life in cowboy land. Go enjoy it. And actually, that's really it for me this week. Those are the projects. I've been focusing on more projects than I have actually been able to watch stuff.
Oh, and this is by Pedro Almodor, Pedro
Yes.
Almodorva, Dora, 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 him.
Yeah, that one. Really a top director, and it is a very well done short, and it got a lot of recognition, like in Cannes, I think Cannes, et cetera, and or Cannes or Cannes,
Con.
Cannes. There you go. But it was worth it. I understand why it got a lot of recognition. It was really well done. So.
I did want to mention that yesterday Barry Manilow got a awarded a well he got a plaque from Radio City Music Hall for having the most live performances there by one artist.
Nice.
Because when we were there, they were saying, "Oh, make sure you come. He's going to be 5 days in April," and they sold out. So he hit 42 live performances. Coming October, he's doing another five because they saw that so quickly that they thought, well, let's do some more. And
Yeah.
but I was just that I thought, well, I guess if you're around for 50 plus years and you're from New York and that's kind of his kind of venue,
Yeah.
him and Billy Joel and a few others that really like playing Radio City Music Hall, both New Yorkers. But I thought that was kind of interesting and nice, so I was happy about that.
Well, you know what I thought was kind of interesting is you got to see Nephi's favorite performer, Boy George, in New York.
I did.
And he gets to see your favorite performer in Houston. He has tickets to see Barry Manilow performing in Houston. So,
Good for him.
yeah, I thought that was just very, very neat. Anyway, all right, well, let's get on to, I guess this is a very Nephi show because this was submitted by Nephi, and this is comes from Dear Libby. It says, Dear Libby, my best friend's wedding is fast approaching, and I couldn't be happier for her until now. You see, the wedding was originally planned for a convenient time and place, but suddenly it's been relocated to a remote Scandinavian town that's been moved and has been moved up an entire year. To add to the drama, attending will cost me an eye-watering $8,000, if not more. Now, normally, I'd suck it up and be there for my friend, but here's the kicker. I have been diligently saving for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Japan to celebrate my 10th anniversary. Picture this, the flights, the luxurious hotel, the rental car, and not to mention all the extra expenses for the wedding festivities, including a full traditional outfit. It's enough to make anyone's head spin, but here's where it gets even more complicated. I had my own destination wedding to Alaska some years ago, and guess who was there front and center cheering me on? You got it. The very friend who's now tying the knot in Scandinavia. Now, instead of feeling excited, I'm contemplating spinning a web of lies just to get out of attending. I'm even considering concocting a story about a major home repair that would drain all our savings just so I can salvage my dream trip to Japan. What's the best way to navigate this emotional minefield? How do I balance my obligations to my friend with my own dreams and financial responsibilities? Signed, caught between commitments. Who the hell is going to these fucking world traveling things, destination weddings? Y'all are crazy and need to, my goodness. Well, here's the thing. If you lie about, you know, all your money being sucked away, and then you go to Japan, you're going to have pictures from Japan. They're going to end up on your social media. She's going to find out and she's going to hate you forever. So either just be honest with her and say, sorry, I can't afford that, or suck it up and be there for your friend.
Well, you just give no answer there. So that, you know, these questions are for you to answer it. You can't give both. You go, well, either suck it up and go, or talk to your friend.
Oh, okay. Well, then here, tell your friend, I can't afford that. I don't want to go.
I would say, you know what? We would, but we've already got our trip to Japan all paid for, and that took all our money.
And you are not you're not a high priority to me.
No. I can't afford it.
Well, who the hell... I'm going to have a destination wedding in Scandinavia.
I'm not going to a destination wedding unless it's someplace I want to go to. End of story. I know Brian. Brian's been to two destination weddings.
Yeah, I remember that. It's crazy.
And it's like, you're out of your mind. Well, I needed a vacation.
Well, so then he can afford it, though.
But it's not even that. Okay. Like, I'm going to a wedding in Chico on Saturday. Okay. And we're going to stay up there Friday and Saturday night because it's a family member and, okay, you know, just kind of hang out and have a good time. Uh-huh. But I can drive there and get a hotel, mm-hmm, and, or I can just drive there and not get a hotel, just go up there for the day.
Right. And it's,
or if you're getting married over at, Makuni's, okay. Yeah. We can meet you over there at Makuni's, but right, I'm not going to ask a whole group of people to spend, mm-hmm, that kind of money to come to my wedding. And, you know, the thing that always kills me about that is they still expect you to give them a gift.
Yeah. After you spend $8,000 to do all that other bullshit.
So, I don't care how good a friend you are. And not even that, it's also the time you're going to have to do probably, because the travel to Scandinavia is going to be a whole day each way. So you're, mm-hmm, going to be there at least 3 or 4 days, if not longer.
Right.
It's inconvenient. It's kind of rude, actually, to expect people to drop everything they're doing. Oh, and that means you also have to have someone sit the dog. You have to, worry about the time period. You know, are you going to need to water your plants or, mm-hmm, or, you know, and like the other thing about the whole, it's work. You got to get time off from work at that point. Yeah. And you know, it's like, oh, great. I'm using my vacations going to fucking Scandinavia, where I never wanted to go ever.
Yeah. I just, to me, destination weddings are for people with more money than they know what to do with.
Well, and more money than they know what to do with. Well, see, they don't realize that it's their honeymoon. Okay, uh-huh. Last thing I want on my honeymoon is my entire wedding party. It's stupid. It just it's really stupid. Are, but, yeah. I mean, because that's what it is. They want to go. I mean, why do you want to, you know, why do you want to go to Scandinavia? Well, because, you know, we want to have our honeymoon there. Okay, I got an idea. Have it. Let's go down to the Justice of the Peace. I'll be there for your wedding, and then you get on a fucking plane with your spouse and go to Scandinavia. It's just rude. It's so rude. It because, like I said, it's not just the $8,000. It's also time off from work, time away from home. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're bringing, is that include a spouse? Because this person's married. Is that a,
yeah.
You know,
or well, is that, and not only that, but they're doing this for their 10th wedding anniversary. I would put a little bit more precedent on your own relationship.
But it's not even, no, for me, it's just the point of how rude you try to get me to pay $8,000 to go to someplace I don't want to go to because you want to get married there. The fact is, they're still going to have to get married here. You know that, don't you?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, they're still going to have to get married here because they're going to be married by somebody in Scandinavia. I mean, maybe it's a relative and you guys can get your stuff ahead of time and fudge it. But, you know, you've also got to get that thing back to the people to so you're registered as being – it's just stupid. Destination weddings, you're right. Super rich, you want you want to send me on to a destination wedding with you. You're paying my airfare, my hotel, and my food while I'm there. And well, if I was working, I'd be missing out on a complete week of work, which means I have to take my vacation time to come and watch your wedding. It's rude. It's just totally rude.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Oh, and then even worse, if they make you feel bad because, well, I really wanted you there, but if you don't want to be there.
Oh, I don't know about that. I was excluded from my best friend's wedding. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving along.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You led my wedding. What do you mean you weren't invited to it?
That's very true. I did.
Yeah. Oh, your real best friend. Sorry. Okay.
Oh, whatever. But you know what I meant.
I do. I just wanted to throw them because you would have if I had said the same thing to you. Yes. Okay. You
You'd never be excluded from my wedding. Of course, I'm not having one. So, yeah,
I know. That's like saying, you know, if I ever have. No, I can't even think of a good example because that's awful.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Chubbs. This is from Timothy. He asks, what is more important, an experience or the memory of that experience?
Well, they're both really important. But the thing let's see. Okay. I really love the experience, you know, but like when I got married, there's very few pictures of my wedding.
Yeah.
And it's because I don't want things to be reduced to pictures. It's all a memory that the collective five of us had of the wedding. Well, the collective four of us had because one's had a stroke, so we can't count on that. It's just you know, those that's your thing. That's why I take very limited pictures. Like when I was in New York, I just took things that wowed me that I wanted to share, but the collective memory that Sean and I have from New York could never really be captured on film or video or digital on cameras and stuff. So the memories of the experience are really the experience happens once, but the memories happen over and over again. We still haven't stopped talking about New York and it's been over a month now. So I would say the memory of the experience is more important.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Actually, your first thought of both was something what I was thinking of.
Sure,
it's amazing to be able to go through something that is going to become a memory that you talk about forever and ever because it was so cool. I'm for both myself.
Well, it depends on if it's a good experience too.
Well, that's true.
The memory is something that I want to take out and put in the urn over there. So if I ever want to look at that horrible situation again, I can stick my head in it and look at that memory again. But otherwise, no, I don't want that memory.
Yeah, the pensive.
I can think of quite a few of those.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Chubbs. Timothy asks, what was your best experience with drugs or alcohol? Sorry, this is the best experience.
The best experience?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's really hard for me because,
There's so many.
I do it so often. I did it yesterday. It's just the best experience is when, I mean, for me, the best experience is just when no drama happens. Nothing I hate more than to be high or drunk and have to deal with somebody who can't handle a situation or a situation goes on around it. Like, you're home and you're drinking, you're having a good time, and the tree falls down in the backyard. Fuck. That kind of stuff. Just my best experience is when that's the only part of the experience that I have is just the enjoyment of doing the drugs and alcohol. God, I sound like a stoner drunk. Thank
well,
you.
Honestly, you kind of are. We can talk about all the bad ones, like our friend who, collapsed in into the audience while he was,
Exactly.
Higher than a kite on edibles. But
I forgot I took the edibles.
You fell on a guy who was having a trauma situation. For me, I don't know. I think probably the best, the only good experience, I guess, that I've had from pot was actually a party that we were at Tom's house, and Brian and he and I were sitting in the kitchen, and this is at the height of our doing theater and stuff like that. And I kept kind of like phasing out when I came to. I'd have like food in both hands and like double fisting cookies and shit like that. But we were laughing so hard at everything, and I think that was the
wasn't
fun.
That where you would not let go of the bucket of cream puss? The bucket
it could
of
have been. I think that's when I did fall in love with cream puffs, yes.
Because that's when Costco had just the big bucket and not the two small buckets.
Yeah.
I remember you were sitting there and it's like, are you done with the cream puss? And you're like, no. And then you took it into the living room and it's like, oh, okay. It's a good thing we can transfer that from room to room.
Yes. Yeah. But no, I remember that party, and that was like my only like really like good memory of pot. The other ones have just not been that great. Anyway, so thank you for those questions, Timothy. We really appreciate them. And what's in your lunchbox? Well, Mr. Moose wrote in, thankfully, as he does, and shared some wonderful items with us, including, ever had a sweet potato cake?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Super moist spice cake with pecans and buttercream frosting. So good. Yeah, I've never really thought about that, but I would
Makes sense.
open trying it.
It makes sense. We actually had sweet potato fries last night, and I was trying to figure out how to tone down, because I like them, but I need the sugar to be toned down. So I was trying different, like, hotter spices on it to try to tone that down. It didn't occur to me to, why tone it down? Why not kick up the sugar where you use it as a sugar, and in a sweet potato cake? That sounds really interesting. I'm wondering if I can get sweet potatoes, or if I'm going to have to bake them and puree them myself, because you have like the canned pumpkin.
True.
But do they have canned sweet
I think
potatoes?
They do have canned sweet potato, but I think they come in like chunks. I don't think they're pureed, but I don't know, as I've never bought them before. So
checking right now. So you keep talking.
And then a slice of hummingbird pie. No worries. No hummingbirds have been harmed in making this cake. Okay. This is a Southern classic. My mother used to make it. It is a banana and pineapple spice cake with nuts. Really good. Funny thing is, I can't taste banana or pineapple in this, just moist cake. That's interesting. I had a piece of like a one piece of carrot cake from the local Safeway up here the other day, and I couldn't finish all of the piece of cake because the frosting on it was so thick that it was too much. But and if
What
you know
is
me,
this?
that's saying a lot. But it is from Safeway up here, and it was actually a really, really good piece of cake. I was surprised. The Safeway isn't known for good cakes, but this was really well done.
I love hummingbird cake. Oh, that's great.
I've heard of it quite a bit, but I've never had a piece.
Yeah, 'cause I've had it once or twice, but they do it a lot on the these baking shows.
Yeah, that's where I've heard of it.
Yeah, because when I first
Yeah.
saw that, I'm like, that is kind of pale for
A
carrot,
carrot cake. Yeah.
and then it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense then. That's
Yeah.
cool.
Hummingbird. Okay. And Golden Rule Services want you to know about an important tool in preventing you from contracting HIV. PrEP is a medication proven to be 99% effective in preventing HIV infection. To learn more about PrEP, just visit sacgrs.org and find Tom's other podcast at swannerandjed.com. Find my books at justkisstheguy.com. Find all of our links at allmylinks.com/chubsgonewild. And give us a call at.
408-69 Chubbs.
And with that, we wish you a wonderful week. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. And if you made it this far, congratulations. We love you. And we will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
A network of inclusion.
Univazpods.net.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
This has been a, for fuck's sake, production.